That was the theme song for The Dick Cavett Show, which aired on the ABC television network for six powerful years, from 1969 until 1975. Dick has been involved in lots of projects through the years and was on this show just a few months ago when they finally started releasing some of his classic TV shows on DVD. We talked especially about a series that he did with John and Yoko and others, and I asked him when more would be coming out, and he said, oh, they'll be coming out eventually, and here they are. There's a new four-disc DVD set just hitting the stores called Hollywood Greats. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you.
Hey, last night I didn't get a chance to see the Groucho interview that they aired on TCM, but I happened
to turn
it on later, and they were showing Animal Crackers.
Yeah.
And I know that the Groucho interview is on here. I was watching some of it this morning on the DVD.
Yeah.
And I know you two had a great relationship, and when I was in high school, was about the time Animal Crackers was re-released after all those years of controversy and scandal. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with this comedic genius, Groucho Marx. How did you two meet?
Well, we almost met once at Farmer's Market when I was with my parents on a vacation in California visiting relatives, and I went to Farmer's Market. And it went to buy a chicken leg, mind you, at a chicken leg stand. And the woman said, you should have been here 2 minutes ago. Groucho Marx was here. And it took me a decade to get over that.
Because he was a comedy hero of yours?
Yes, God. And, of course, I saw him backwards as far as the career goes because I knew Groucho from the game show.
You Bet Your Life.
You Bet Your Life, yeah, which I never missed. And then how many years later? Well, of course, later I saw the movies, so I saw them in reverse order. But yeah, we met at the post-funeral gathering for the funeral of George S. Kaufman, who was Groucho's god, as he often referred to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaufman of this great theater, he was known to the public from a show called This Is Show Business. Fabulous wit. And Groucho, the day we met and three times later in our long relationship, he said, did I ever tell you that Kaufman gave me the greatest compliment of my life? And I would always say no. And he said, you're the only actor, Groucho, that I'd allow to ad lib in something I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get tearful when he said this. His love for Kaufman was so great.
So at this party, did you finally work up the nerve to go up to him and say, hi, I'm a big fan? Or what did you say to you? Here's your comedy hero.
Well, there, I went to the funeral. I had met Woody Allen for the first time the night before at a club called the Blue Angel, where the Parr Show, my employer, had sent me to scout this new comic. And he was depressed about Kaufman's death, and we said, let's go to the funeral. And Woody didn't, but I did, and it was such an overflow, they put us in an ante room, and there, 6 feet from me, was a cigar, unlit, of course, with Groucho Marx on the end of it. And when it was over, I followed him up to Fifth Avenue. Some friends left him alone there. And I said, Groucho, I'm a big fan. And he said, well, if it gets any hotter, I could use a big fan. And that was the beginning of our long friendship.
One of the interesting things in the interview that you have on this DVD is you ask him, and he doesn't really answer you about this, but it's an interesting idea, that Groucho couldn't insult anyone. Explain that.
Oh, yeah, he used to complain about that. He said, you know, I can't insult anyone anymore. There are many people I don't like, and I try to insult them, and they just laugh. And then they run off and tell their friends what Groucho said to them, and it leaves me frustrated.
Let me talk to you about somebody else who's on this DVD, and there are great interviews on here where, you know, John Huston and Marlon Brando and Mel Brooks and Frank Capra and others, but I particularly enjoyed the Alfred Hitchcock interview you did.
That's a gem, isn't it? I had forgotten how good that was.
I don't know that he did a lot of interviews, did he?
Not that I know of. He knew every second. He was in command at every moment in that show. He's a born performer. You can tell by the way he put himself into all his movies in a brief moment. But, geez, he was just a class act all the way. I'll give you a bonus. A friend of mine was the murderer in the Hitchcock movie Frenzy and said Hitch would come into the trailer and describe one of his special effects, like the one he talked to on the show about how he made it appear that a plane, when a continuous shot, fell straight into the ocean, and the water poured through the windows.
Yep.
And he'd say, "How did I do it?" And you had to guess, like a kid with a new card trick.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but then he'd come up with a total non sequitur suddenly. He'd sit for a moment, sort of meditating, and then would come out with, "Grace Kelly, the most promiscuous woman I've ever known."
Just in the middle of nothing?
That was, huh?
That he would just say that apropos of nothing else?
Yeah, a thought that crossed his mind.
What did he tell you?
Apparently he was right, but I can remember her father, when she went into movies, being quoted in Time magazine as saying, "I don't know that I'm happy about this. Some of those movie people lead pretty shallow lives."
What did Hitchcock tell you?
Shallow about Grace, apparently.
What did Hitchcock tell you about his obsession with blondes like Tippi Hedren and Grace Kelly and the others?
I never actually put it that way to him, but the evidence was there to see. And, of course, if any of his relationships were sexual with them, he would be too cagey, really, to tell you, but
yeah,
leave you convinced that they were. He was amazing that way.
What a dry sense of humor he had during that interview.
What a dry sense of humor you'd have to go to bed with him.
Let's talk about another person you have on this DVD who also, to my knowledge, did not do a lot of interviews, and that is Katharine Hepburn. You have her as kind of the lead-off interview from a couple of nights you did with her in October of 1973. How did that happen?
That, I may say, is well worth the price of the entire DVD, those great Hepburn. It was a miracle. It was a bombshell when it happened. I had heard she might come on. I never believed it. Somebody naive on my staff must have asked a second time. And apparently she got to thinking about it, got influenced by a couple of friends like Irene Mayer Selznick and other good friends of her, who said, "You ought to do this, Kate. But I've never been on television, and I don't intend to be." Well, she finally decided to. And it was staggering, partly because she insisted on coming in before we did it and seeing the studio.
Right.
So on a Wednesday, before I was supposed to tape my regular show, she came in, checked out the chair, checked out the set, and I had had one of the few good ideas of my entire life, a dangerous one. I said, "Have the cameras going when she comes in for this checkout session, and we'll have a souvenir if she decides not to do the show." And she had also said, "If I don't like it, I can just be assured you'll burn the tapes, right?" "Oh, yeah, sure." Thinking of greenbacks swinging out the window to this unaired show.
Yeah.
But then in sitting there and bossing the stagehands around, that became the opening for the show, and it was a perfect one because the viewer and those who buy the DVD, if they have ever seen it, will get to see her when she doesn't know she's on. And I remember one stage, she said, "What about this wall thing here? Can that be moved back a ways?" And the guy stagehand said, "Well, you know, if we did that, we'd have to unscrew the whole." "Don't tell me what's wrong. Just fix it."
Oh, I love that attitude.
She was commenting on how ugly the carpeting was, and
she hated the carpet. So did I, but she was the only one to bring it out.
but she, I mean, talk about a controlling personality.
Oh, and she asked if I was going to keep wiggling that one foot that I had my leg crossed on with that white sneaker on the end of it to attract attention.
And then all of a sudden, once she was comfortable, she had a table to put her feet up on, and she didn't look like she was wearing TV makeup. It was just the two of you kind of sitting there, and then all of a sudden, you went.
It's amazing. She just, she liked the chair, pronounced it acceptable, and said, "Well, why don't we just do it now?" And I hadn't prepared anything, because we were supposed to do it the following Friday. So I just had my street clothes on and no jacket, nothing.
Was it odd?
And it went so well that I lost track of time. And when we finished, we had enough for two 90-minute shows and 25 minutes that have never been seen yet, which were perfectly good, but we had no place to put them.
And they're on the DVD.
They're on the DVD as an extra. Yeah.
Was it strange for you not just to be doing one of the rare interviews with Katharine Hepburn, but also to be doing the Dick Cavett Show with no audience?
Yeah. She had not wanted an audience originally. And then that just became epidemic when she said, let's do it now. As the show progresses, you hear more laughter. The musicians started arriving and thinking, good God, look who's sitting up there. And they called relatives, and some cleaning people came in and sat down, and a fireman from across the street got wind of it. And by the end of it, there was a laughing-sounding audience. Small, but responsive.
Did she have handlers or an entourage of any kind?
Nobody.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I think she came back and did some more the next day because she wanted to finish up on a couple subjects. I don't even remember her secretary, companion, longtime pal, Phyllis, who was the one you went through to get to Miss Hepburn.
Uh-huh.
I don't even think she came.
Wow.
Oh, the funny thing, when I called her with my heart in my mouth and said, I have to confess something to you, we taped you the other day before you knew it. And she said, well, thank you very much, Mr. Cabot. And I thought that meant goodbye. And she said, why don't I come over and look at it? No, I'll send someone. Well, at ABC the next day, a friend reported that a woman came up the elevator into the room wearing very familiar-looking slacks and sandals and the shirt that was Hepburn's everyday wear, but with a babushka completely hiding her face, watched the thing and said thank you in a semi-familiar voice and left. Well, we know who it was, don't we?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Can't fool us, even though I fooled her.
It was remarkable, as are the interviews that are on this DVD from start to finish. And by the way, those Katharine Hepburn interviews are also going to be aired on the next two Thursday nights on TCM on cable.
Oh, is that the order? Okay, I'm glad to know that.
Yeah. 7 o'clock Central Time, and then they're showing classics like Bringing Up Baby and The Philadelphia Story and Woman of the Year and Adam's Rib and The African Queen.
Yeah, that was a great idea of Turner's classic movies idea. I should have thought of it. But the idea that you could show, as Betty Davis, and then three favorite Betty Davis movies, or four, throughout the night.
Yeah, well, it works
Davis
out.
Davis was another champion. My God.
Tell me about her.
People I've run into said, they watched the Davis thing, and I said, do you like it? And she said, well, I watched it the repeat, too. A number of people watched both airings of it, because it's on twice the same night.
Yeah.
Two hours apart, I guess, a little. Well, it's 8 Eastern and 11 Eastern, so that would be 7.
7 and 10 Central Time, and helping to sell a couple more of these DVDs. It's called The Dick Cavett Show, Hollywood Greats. And I appreciate your time today, Dick. And
it may be the best buy there's ever been, he said modestly.
Well, you know what? I think this is what money was invented for.
And you haven't even named half the people.
Yeah,
no,
Janis
I haven't.
Joplin is one of them.
Janis Joplin's not on this one. Oh, she was on the Rock
Icons.
I have to get that.
Icons, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a quick Betty Davis thing?
Absolutely.
On another show, not the one that was seen, I did with her, which eventually will be, probably. Sometimes you say to your guest or whoever's on the show something you don't expect a direct answer to, but you might get something interesting in maybe the way they turn down the question or whatever. So I said to her on another one, I have to do both voices so you see how it went.
Okay.
Who's the worst pig you ever worked with, Betty? Miriam Hopkins.
That quickly?
Just like that. Hopkins is a now forgotten film star, but she was very good. But they hated each other's guts, and they made three movies together.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's that. By the way, you haven't named all the stars.
You want me to? All right, I'll go through them.
I'm not criticizing you.
All right, Robert Altman. it's like working with Katharine Hepburn around here. You want me to move
Acceptable.
The chairs, Dick?
Acceptable.
Let me ask you what you would have done. On the Davis show, I said, you never do this kind of thing. Why are you here? And she said, well, in effect, you're a gentleman, Richard, and I know that I'm in good hands with you. Could you or anyone have resisted then saying what I did, which was, how'd you lose your virginity,
Ben? You know, I'm going to resist asking you that question here because I'm afraid you'd actually tell me.
She went on and told, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
It's on the DVD. This is what a great lineup. Robert Altman, Fred Astaire, Peter Bogdanovich, Marlon Brando, Mel Brooks, Frank Capra, Betty Davis, Kirk Douglas, Katharine Hepburn, Alfred Hitchcock, John Huston, Groucho Marx, Robert Mitchum, Debbie Reynolds, and Orson Welles. And by the way, Debbie Reynolds and Groucho Marx, priceless together.
Oh, God, isn't that something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a different one from the Groucho that was on last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And you did those all in one breath. I'm really impressed.
Oh, thank you very much. It's not my first day on the job.
Well, I've got some Christmas presents already checked off here.
There you go.
I asked for Paris and got Harris.
Are there going to be more?
Very nice.
Are there going to be more DVDs?
Yes, there will. But, God, these are the ideal present for the parents who have nagged their children that they were too young to see the Dick Cavett Show. And for the children whose parents recall it, ideal present, isn't it? I think it's way too cheap.
I got to run, Dick. Thanks for your time.
Go ahead.
Dick Cavett, who, by the way, did not pull the full Katharine Hepburn on us, did not comment on the carpeting at all, which I appreciate. Dick Cavett here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.